Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. Today's Attacking Third podcast is presented by Sonos Beam, the premium smart soundbar for TVs, movies, music, sports, gaming, and more. Stay tuned for additional details about the Sonos Beam in today's show. On this episode, we have an NWSL playoff preview. We will be taking a look at Chicago Red Stars versus New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. And we're also going to take a deep dive into Washington Spirit versus North Carolina Courage. But a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. You can also head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe so that you never miss a new video, an interview, or whenever we go live. Plus, you can catch great extended NWSL highlights. So head on over to youtube.com/attackingthird. Hit subscribe. The playoffs are here. Lisa, are you ready to talk about it?
Sandra, I'm so ready. I am so happy that the playoffs are finally here. We get to preview the quarterfinal matches, two of them. It's an extended playoff this season for the first time in the NWSL. The top six teams make the playoffs. First two spots, number one and number two, get a bye. So that's Portland and OL Reign. So they are not playing this weekend, but we have four other teams that'll be taking the field in two matches on Sunday. I'm so excited to talk about them, and I'm excited to get your picks. I want to know who you have going through because we haven't discussed it before we started recording.
You know, I'm excited about it too. I love that there is an expanded playoff format this year. I think it was always one of those ambitious like benchmarks that the league wanted to hit for so long. Since its inaugural season in 2013, it was always top four teams. And now as the league is sort of finding itself kind of currently level at like an even number of teams at 10, and they're looking ahead to future expansion for 2022, they decided in 2021 is when they were going to expand the playoff picture a little bit. So it's very exciting to get onto this podcast and to be able to talk about the first ever quarterfinals that'll take place in NWSL history. So I, of course, am excited to get the chance to cover one of these games in a local capacity, because this first one that we're going to get into right now is going to be taking place on Sunday. It's going to be Chicago Red Stars versus New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. It is the number four seed versus the number five seed, taking place at SeatGeek Stadium. You can catch that on CBS Sports Network at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Lisa, it just sort of feels like whenever people, I think, look at those numbers, when they see like the four seed and the five seed, there's something about when those two seeded type of teams kind of go head to head, they're always like something unpredictable could happen, right, within that type of scenario. But when we're looking at it specifically in an NWSL lens, I don't think it's cliche or unfair to still kind of draw that parallel. These are two teams that kind of played each other very narrowly during the regular season. When we had to come on here and talk about their regular season matchups, there were some scoreless draws. There was a very narrow 1-0 win for Gotham that came by way of a poor penalty from Chicago Red Stars. And that gave them ultimately the head-to-head tiebreaker. So it's funny to look back maybe a little bit at some of these regular season matchups and looking ahead to this quarterfinal match and knowing actually – these two teams are going to be facing off and going head to head into this quarterfinal, and they are definitely not in the same places where they were while they were meeting during their regular season matchups.
That's exactly what it is. You can't look at every little detail that has happened so far in the regular season and take that as a blanket statement, because there are so many different factors coming into this. And the fact that Gotham, even when you look at them on the surface level, they could have clinched 5 or 6 days before they actually clinched a playoff spot. They just kept themselves on the edge of their seat and on their toes at the end of it, ultimately clinching. But yeah, I love to see a 4 and 5 matchup, because so close in the standings and so close in the season overall, depending like how you really look at how this shook out, and the final weekend of regular season set the tone for how these playoffs are going to be. Tight, anything can happen, and really it's up in the air, I think, for a lot of it.
Let's take a look maybe at like recent form, right? For both of these teams respectively. You've got Chicago Red Stars heading into these playoffs on 3 straight wins. You've got Gotham heading into these quarterfinals and 3 straight draws. Different scenarios. I mean, either way, I mean, they could both maybe look at that as a positive and say, hey, we're heading into these quarterfinals undefeated. But in terms of actual form, we've been seeing a little bit of different looks from these teams in more recent weeks. Let's maybe start with the visiting side in this one, Lisa, because I know you were actually in the call for some of these games, right? When it came down to this very sort of compact final week for Gotham FC, and just sort of getting a bird's eye view really of their attack, their midfield, their defensive unit. And you know, there's been a lot, we could take a look at them and say that there's actually been a lot of pretty strong individual performances. Obviously somebody like Margaret Purse maybe sticks out the most for the two of us, going on a ridiculous run in the month of October, coming out with player of the month honors because of her attacking ability and what she means and does for and provides to the team. I believe, if people can feel free to stat check me on this, but I believe they've only lost one time whenever Margaret Purse is on the pitch, and it just echoed very, very loudly. It was so evident when she was gone, you know, out for injury for an extended period of time, they struggled a little bit, you know, in her absence. And her return in late September kind of spearheaded this very, very strong month of October for her, and essentially helped propel this team to where they needed to go. But it doesn't just end with her. On the back line, they've made some adjustments as well, right, Lisa?
Yes, I think when we look at Gotham overall, and you mentioned the back line at the start of this regular season. So if we can all try to remember way back when to May, before the Olympics, before the finals, it's been a really long season. Gotham was the team to beat defensively, because they were letting up almost no goals. They were going on the road and winning or tying all of their games. They hadn't lost a road game their first like 10 matches. They were all winning them on the road, and it really came down to the defensive unit for Gotham at that point in the season. Now I don't think it's as much of a talking point when you look at Gotham, and that's the beauty of a really long season. There's ebbs and flows of a team and strengths and the rhythmic patterns of players and personnel on the field that come together at different points. And I think that having the Olympics throughout the summer broke up the season and broke up teams a lot for the middle of the summer, because they were missing chunks of players from their team due to the Olympics and the international window. So because of that, you really have to just look at the final few weeks of the regular season. And like you mentioned, Gotham is coming off 3 ties. In all 3 of those ties, they scored goals. It was all 3-1-1. They also let up all 3 goals in those 3 matches. But it's an 8-game unbeaten streak for Gotham, and they're scoring goals. So those are 2 really big positives when you look at this Gotham side. The last 5 matches, they have scored first before their opponents, and then they let up goals. So I think that says something a little bit defensively now when you look at Gotham, because yes, at the start of the season, they were so defensive and such a lockdown on defense. And now their forwards are scoring goals. 3 of those goals in the last 5 games came in the first half, and 2 of them came in the first 10 minutes. This is getting a little into the numbers and a little bit into the weeds and the stats here, but I'm trying to make a point that when the first whistle blows for Gotham, it is game time. They're scoring goals in those first 10 minutes, and they're scoring goals first before their opponents. Then after they score goals, there's something happening there where they're letting up a goal defensively, maybe when that doesn't need to happen. And as a defender myself, I don't like to put so much pressure on the defense. It shouldn't be that letting up one goal a game loses you a game or ties you a game. So the forwards also need to score more. I'm going to throw the double-edged sword there out on that one. When you look at the front line that they have with Onamanu, Pearce, and Lloyd up top, Lloyd has played much more centrally. She's not a high striker. She's not a high number nine striker. She drops back a lot into the midfield, which is a different formation because then you have Onamanu and Pearce pushing up, going really fast and stretching back lines. And because of that, Carly Lloyd dropping back into the midfield and picking up balls, she can play diagonal balls to either flag and know she's going to hit one of her teammates. And that's where Gotham has found so much success getting in behind opponents' back lines. And oftentimes those quick transition plays happen at the start of the game when opponents haven't quite adjusted to how quick Pearce and Onamanu's first step is. Yes, running over 30 yards, they're really fast, but it's their first step that gets them away from their defender and creates that spot of separation. Sticking with Gotham a little bit and their back line, Imani Dorsey, she's been out. She was a mainstay in the back line for Gotham for a long time, and she's been out and injured the last few games. Because of that, Elizabeth Eddy has slotted into the left back position. Caprice Didasco on the right side, who we know has gotten up the flank and sent crosses in. Elizabeth Eddy, she got an assist on a Carly Lloyd header last time out versus Louisville. So for those that don't know, Eddy is traditionally a forward. And Sandra Wright, she was traded as a forward to Gotham to play forward. But they don't really need a lot of help in the attack right now. They're doing pretty well. So she slid into the back line. And being that outside back position, it's your job to get up the field. I mean, with Caprice Didasco and Elizabeth Eddy on either side, it really becomes a two-back or a three-back with that central midfielder sliding back, whoever is at that moment in there, whether it's Allie Long or Jennifer Cujo dropping into the midfield to almost become a three-back for Gotham. And I think that's what's been really important, but also maybe exposing Gotham on the transition play because they don't have those solid defenders in the back all the time. So I think that's interesting. I think that Elizabeth Eddy will get the start again. At this point, injury reports have not come out yet for these matches, so we don't know, but I'm going to figure that Elizabeth Eddy is going to start in that left back position, which I'll come back to when we touch on Chicago and that left back position for Gotham. But that's really when you look at the lineup for Gotham and how they've been playing throughout this season. Those are the moments of the field I'm really interested in. And then, of course, you have to look at the midfield battle, which so many games are won and lost in the midfield. And between Chicago's midfield unit and Gotham's midfield unit, there can't be sloppy giveaways on either side because that's going to be the moment when the game switches and transition happens. And those are the moments where your opponent's going to capitalize, no matter who it is. If it's Gotham's midfielders making that mistake, Chicago will capitalize. And if Chicago's midfield makes a mistake, that's when Gotham's going to capitalize. So that's my little overview of Gotham right now before we even get to Chicago.
No, I'm into it. We're taking the deep dives here. I mean, it's just two games, you know, it's just two games that we have on our plate. So we wanted to, you know, get into as much of this as possible. But, you know, I'm in agreement with you on the Carly Lloyd tidbit as well. I really do think that, you know, at this stage in Gotham's trajectory right now, heading into the playoffs, if they're going to be successful and go on a playoff run, that Carly Lloyd does probably have to take maybe a little bit more of a supporting role in that aspect. Being able to sort of be this mm-hmm. playmaker who has the ability to stretch back lines and find these open lanes and pick out these seams for players like Margaret Pearce, like Ifeoma Onamanu, and still sort of be this kind of lethal target, right? We saw her end the season with a header, you know. So I really do think it could benefit Gotham in this one if they have somebody with her experience able to just sort of kind of be that extra supporting role on there. But I don't know if that's in Carly Lloyd's DNA. We'll see what happens for Gotham there. I don't know. I mean, I'm not too sure if I agree that this game's going to actually come down to the midfield. I mean, because I'm looking at recent form and looking at some of these moments in this very final compact week for Gotham, they just didn't get it done. There were multiple opportunities where they had to just sort of be done with it and clinch their moment. Something even like a home playoff was still in play with them as well. And that just, they kind of shut the door on themselves for that. And, you know, we had McCall Zerboni, you know, on the show, and we chatted a little bit with her on background, and she feels like the team is in a good space right now. And it's like kind of like hitting the reset button, right? She's somebody with a ton of playoff experience. This is not her first rodeo when it comes to like a professional playoff scenario. So, but she is in agreement. She told us that it's like getting a fresh start. It's like a completely different, it's a different slate when you're getting into these moments that anybody could sort of take it. So I'm in agreement with that, with her. But looking at the form of this midfield, there were moments up against specifically some of these Louisville sides where their attackers just ran through that midfield. Yeah. They just ran through them. So it's, if you're Chicago and you're looking at recent tape, you're like, and you're Mal Pugh or you're Khalil Watt, you're like, well, let's just go. Let's just run at them. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. But I really do think, you know, if we're looking at, we want to transition a little bit to Chicago side a little bit, Lisa, their recent form, right? Maybe there's similar arguments that can actually be made for both of these teams. Again, it's that number four and number five kind of seed talk, but similar scenarios, I think, for Chicago as we're sort of analyzing Gotham, that we could look at with Chicago. They're a team that have navigated their regular season. It didn't get the best of starts, right? They kind of had a little ups and downs going on in the beginning third of the season, and then really sort of locked things in for the final third of the season. We've heard so much about this team, and they've all echoed the same messaging that it really was going to come down to this final third of the season for them. And when we had Tierna Davidson on the show, she echoed as much. It's all the same messaging that's coming out of that locker room, quite frankly, just talking about that. That's what it is. It was going to be getting the job done when you're supposed to be getting it done. And it was during this window of time. So having them going into their home quarterfinal now, having earned that and sort of going in on three wins, even though they're like three narrow kind of results, that's something that they've got to be feeling good about. And I think it's actually probably the closest picture that is most reflective of what this Chicago Red Stars unit has been in 2021, as they have sort of floated around from maybe being, like, there was one day in the regular season where they were like number one, right? And then it was like,
it was like half a day.
And then it was like, oh, it's like now you're kind of a middle tier table, and now you're, you know, still fighting for a playoff spot. So it's been, that's kind of been like their MO, like sort of who they've been. So looking at this final three games, it's this sort of reliance, right, on this very strong organizational defensive game plan that sort of just sees their attackers just go out there and run. And that is what we have seen in terms of like some of the tactical stuff for Chicago. It's like they have very calm, cool, collected, confident, organized defenders. And they have very, very technical, quick, athletic forwards who, in somebody like a Mal Pugh or somebody like a Khalil Watt, who have been able to just find themselves cutting in on a run into these boxes or through the wing. So I'm a little curious as to, you know, what you're echoing. It's like, where can we really see this game be won for either side? For is it going to be in the midfield if both these midfielders kind of find themselves maybe canceling each other out a little bit, since they're both kind of very experienced midfields? Is it going to come down to the outside backs, which, quite frankly, both of these teams have really good outside backs right now and really, really good form? And like we're talking about, Lisa, if the injury report is pretty steady or clean for either of them, that could come into play too. These were teams that were navigating some injuries, right, towards the end of the season. So there's a lot of question marks there. But if Chicago and Gotham sort of have their could be their most in-form or what we've seen in their most in-form kind of starting 11s, that this is might be one of the more unpredictable games, right, of the two games this weekend.
It really well may be. When you look back at the history between these two squads, they started in May, beginning of the season, a 0-0 draw. July 25th, so right in the thick of the Olympics, Gotham won 2-1, but both sides scored in that match. And then most recently, September 4th, a 0-0 draw. So two games closing out 90 minutes in a 0-0 draw. I think that says a lot about these sides too, how they can sit back and be defensive and honestly play those mind games a little bit with their opponents. And so when you key in on Chicago and everything that they've got going for them, coming off three straight wins and just one loss in the last nine games, and in those last nine games, they've scored 12 goals. So they're coming into form in their forwards position and forwards positioning and finding that momentum. And even head coach Rory Dames spoke about that a few weeks back, saying that he's found what's worked in the front line. He's found Mallory Pugh and Kaylee Watt, Katie Johnson, really, she's been a namestay up there in the top, but also rotating in Rachel Hill into that front line. It's working. He found it. It's clicking. It took a little while. It took time for each individual to get up to speed and to be consistent in their game. And then once that happens between all of the forwards, then it's finding the consistency among the three of them. And that really has started to click over the last few weeks. We've talked about Sarah Gordon a lot. She became an Iron Woman. So playing every single minute of this regular season. And that's a feat that players have achieved before. It's not that outrageous. However, it's really important to note that there were so many other players coming in and out around her throughout this year and this regular season. She was not alongside Tiernan Davidson the entire season, who left to go to the Olympics. And the biggest thing about Sarah Gordon is that from the start of the season, she always played in the back line, but she would rotate between outside back and center back. Because she was a little bit of a liability when she was at that center back position, because she would give up plays or it would be small mental lapses that would give up big opportunities for the opponents where her goalkeeper would have to make a big save. Towards the second half of this season, she's only been playing center back because she's gotten so much more consistent over a 90-minute game, and she's no longer having these tiny mental lapses. And as a defender, if you switch off for 1 second mentally, not physically, because Sarah Gordon is fast and she's fit and she can track anyone down, but if you switch off mentally just for a second as a defender, that's a chance for your opponent to score a goal. And Sarah Gordon has not done that in this second half of the season. She's been consistent in her mental consistency and focus over 90 minutes for every single game. And that is what is really, truly impressive from Sarah Gordon. Looking at that defensively, and I talked about the forwards and how they need to score a little bit, the defense also really, really has to start with Chicago's front line. And I know they try to do this every game, and it's the press and the counter press and finding that balance and when to attack your opponents and when to not. But if Chicago wins the ball back higher up the field, it's less ground for their midfielders to cover. And Chicago's midfield is very good, but they're very technical, which is a good thing for Chicago to have. However, when those players get a little bit tired because they're putting so many miles on their legs, their technical ability, it doesn't lack. They just use less of it and they get rid of the ball quicker. So I prefer when Vanessa DiBernardo and Danielle Colaprico in the midfield play technical and they can beat a second defender and then distribute the ball. Towards the end of the game, if they've been running and chasing a lot, they're more tired and they're getting rid of the ball quicker. So because of that, Chicago's forwards need to be really smart in their counter press and their defending as soon as they lose the ball. So the midfielders behind them don't have to chase as much, and Chicago can play more of that technical game in the middle of the field and dominate over Gotham for a longer period of time. Last point before we move on for this one. When we looked at Gotham's lineup, I mentioned how it'll be Caprice Didasco on the right side, outside back, and it'll most likely be Elizabeth Eady on the left outside back position. Rory Dames looks at this lineup for Gotham, and he knows how Caprice Didasco has played very consistently, getting up the flank and sending crosses in. he's going to let her do that and let her play that game. But when you look at Elizabeth Eddy, that's where Chicago is going to key in on. So every time that Chicago is, or that Gotham is building out of the back and Elizabeth Eddy gets the ball, you will see Mallory Pugh, Kaylee Awad, and whether it's Katie Johnson or Rachel Hill, the forwards up top, they will squeeze in on Elizabeth Eddy and force her to either play long or turn the ball over. So that's really what's going to be key, is if Chicago forwards can trap Elizabeth Eddy as soon as she gets the ball on the flank, squeeze her into that corner and that side of the field, and then the midfield can pick off the passes. So I think this game might honestly be won and lost on the flanks. I know we talked about that midfield and maybe it being canceled out a little bit. A lot of this game will be played in the middle of the field, but I think it'll be the middle of the field on the flanks and who can pick up those passes and who can pick up those ball there, find a quick point, switch the point of attack, go down the other side, and then try to get crosses in and use their speed up top. That's what it's going to come down to, quick transition plays and finding your speedy forwards getting in behind.
We're going to close this out. We are going to close this out with picks. We didn't forget about that. We're going to keep that energy going in our playoff episodes, everyone. But before we do, I would like to do something else really fun as we go into our picks, to go along with our picks. We've been talking a lot about all the areas of the pitch. So we've been talking about the front line. We've talked about the midfield extensively. We've talked about the defenses for both of these teams. So let's take a look at each line. I want you to give me a player from each line that you think is going to have like a breakout game. And it could be for either team. So I'm not going to ask you for six players, just who you think is going to have like a lights out kind of game in the playoffs, or should have a big game in the playoffs.
So looking at Chicago, I want Mallory Pugh to do big things up top for them. I really do. It's hard because I want to say mid first too when I look at that front line for both sides. But I think it'll be Mallory Pugh. I think she's getting more confident in her international play and with the national team, and knowing that January camps are around the corner. Not that Margaret Purse isn't thinking about that as well, but I think for Mallory Pugh, this is kind of like the epitome of the point of the season for her. And this is the top of the mountain. And if she can close that out for Chicago, that would be huge. And I also think that Chicago doesn't put a lot of pressure on her as an individual, and they kind of just let her go and they let her play her game. And if she doesn't score a goal, it's not like, come on, Mal, you really got to score. It's like, hey, you did great. You had an assist. You defended really well off the ball. That's all we need from you. And the less pressure you put on Pugh, the better she will do. Midfield, I think it's got to be McCall Zerboni. We talked to her and she seems so calm, cool, and collected, but she needs to have a big game and she needs to be the defender that breaks up plays for Chicago and a lockdown defender, but also head up, finding passes, finding Lloyd's feet. Defender, this is going to be so tricky, but I'm going to go Caprice Didasco. I have been on her all season, getting up the flank, sending crosses in. And she's been a little quiet the last few weeks, but I want her to turn the jets on again and be that Caprice Didasco unstoppable force on the flank for Gotham this weekend. Sandra, I need to hear your lines.
I think it's good that we're going to stick with like the three players and we can go either way. But I think just to piggyback off of you, since you chose Chicago forward, I think I'll choose a Gotham forward. I think we absolutely have to circle Margaret Purse. I mean, it's just so evident the second half and the impact that she had for this team in her return in September and sort of the run that they went on. It there's a real what if there, I think, around Margaret Purse had she not picked up an injury. Maybe we'd be having a different conversation about her that was more a much stronger case maybe for MVP, right? But not having all of the games. So right now in this second half, I don't disagree that she's 100% probably the MVP for this Gotham side in this second half, in this moment. So I think that if they are to be successful in the playoffs, she absolutely has to continue to kind of come up big and deliver. I think for the midfield, I'm going to go swing the way of Chicago. I think Morgan Gutierrez got to have a lights out game for Chicago. I think whatever happens in the midfield for the Red Stars will absolutely live or die with Morgan Gutierrez. And that's been pretty evident this season, similar to Purse, probably. Mm-hmm. one of those MVP candidates of the team for the Red Stars. So no matter who they've slotted in, whether it's been a DiBernardo, a Waldmo, a Colaprico, as the rotation has happened because of various injuries to their midfield core, Gautreau has sort of been that consistent a player for them. So whoever, it doesn't matter who you're lining up alongside her, she has been the way. So I think she's got to have a lights out game for Chicago in the midfield. And for defense, you and Gotham. So I'll go Chicago as well. I think Sarah Gordon's the Iron Woman, right? There's going to be a lot of eyes on her and what she can do and what she can bring and how she can sort of help lead and keep that back line organized in a playoff role like this. And this is going to be a playoffs where she's going to be in the center back position, right? And kind of hold things down and not so much in the outside back position. And that's going to be a little new too. So I think she's got to have a lights out game as well. Who is going to win, Lisa? Because there cannot be a draw in this one. It's the knockout rounds. Who are you picking and why?
I have Gotham. I'll give my pick first. I have Gotham winning this based on their ability to score goals first and early. Not that Chicago can't do that, but we haven't seen it as consistently as we have from Gotham. And I think that Gotham coming off three consecutive ties where they could have won and they could have put the game away and they didn't. I think they have that nagging thought in their head that's like, put this game away early, get it done with, get two goals in the first half, lock it down defensively in the second half. So I'm going to go Gotham on this one just because of their ability to score goals. And they've scored goals against Chicago. They have the head-to-head in the Chicago-Gotham tiebreaker for the regular season. I'm going Gotham.
I feel that. You know where I'm going to go with, but I'm going to tell you why. Ironically, it's for a lot of the similar reasons that you've just listed, only I'm going to be going Chicago's way. I actually think, you know, this is NWSL playoffs, so I think unlike the Challenge Cup, there's possibility for the knockout round to have extra time in the event that there is, and it's not just straight to penalties. I really do think that this could be a game that could go into extra time. And I do think that that's where Chicago could win it, quite frankly. But whether it ends in regulation, whether it ends in extended time, I think this is going to go Chicago's way. Just looking at, yes, those regular season fixtures that they had against each other, but also recent form. These are two teams that are not scoring tons of goals right now at the moment. So it is going to probably come down to maybe who gets that goal first. When it happens, I think is going to be crucial. And I just think that Chicago has the edge a little bit right now when it comes to recent form on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that might benefit them in the home field in this type of match. So Lisa's going Gotham. I'm going Chicago. The winner of this match, whoever it is, will go on to face Portland Thorns FC on the road on November the 14th. So it'll be an exciting one. We are going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The NWSL playoffs are here. I'm lucky enough to attend the Chicago home playoff match this Sunday. But, you know, Lisa, I know that you're not, you know, we'll eventually get you a team. The league will work on getting you a team in Philly soon enough so that you can attend a playoff game someday in person in your home market. But with the Sonos Beam, you won't even notice that you aren't in the stadium. You don't even need to attend a match in person to experience that playoff match vibe. With the Sonos Beam soundbar, it truly feels like you're inside the stadium on NWSL match day. The best is during NWSL after dark matches. We know how crazy those games can get, but this is the playoffs, so let's stick with that. If you take the Sonos Beam, you can turn on the Sonos night sound. This feature automatically turns down the sound effects. So when the commentator starts screaming because there's a great goal that's about to happen and then they don't score, I don't get all my hopes up because a goal is happening. But whatever it is, I do it all with my Beam. And if I'm moving around my apartment, not just sitting in front of my TV watching every single second, I can change the volume up, down, all the settings right from my Sonos app on my phone. The ease and the convenience is really top notch, and I just can't imagine the NWSL playoffs without it.
It really makes the whole playoff scenario and playoff experience that much more premium. Yeah, very, very lucky and excited to have the Sonos Beam.
Keep the energy. The volume is up right now for this episode because it is the playoffs. We've got one more to get through. Lisa, we got to talk about it. It's number three. Versus number six, Washington Spirit versus North Carolina Courage. The winner will go on to play OL Reign in this one. This match is going to take place at Audi Field for the home side of the Spirit at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. This one you can catch on Paramount Plus. Lisa, we have to echo some similar scenarios here that we were doing with Chicago versus Gotham. You know, these two teams during their regular seasons had some battles of their own. But the Spirit, this team full of sort of this young core, right, going up against an experienced North Carolina side, a team that has always sort of been in, always been in the mix of NWSL playoffs and other various NWSL titles. They kind of played with them toe to toe, and they took away some results against this North Carolina Courage side. We got to chat a little bit with Aubrey Bledsoe, the goalkeeper of the Spirit. We got to chat a little bit with Lynn Williams of the North Carolina Courage. And again, just sort of echoing those same things. This is the playoffs. It's the reset button. Some of the regular season fixture stuff kind of goes out of the window. And I mean, geez, at one point during this final stretch, right, of the regular season, the Courage found themselves having to root for the Spirit in order to be able to clinch that final number six playoff seed spot. And so now here these two teams are going into the quarterfinal of the NWSL playoffs, and now they have to go head-to-head. It's the first time for North Carolina Courage, Lisa, the first time that they have gone into an NWSL playoff, and they are not the number one seed. It'll be interesting to sort of see how they continue to navigate that. And then for the Spirit, this is their return. You know, they are not a team that are, you know, unfamiliar to an NWSL playoff, but it has been a little while. It's been since 2016. It's the last time the Spirit were in the NWSL playoffs, and really the last time that they made a championship finals, the first and last time they made a championship finals appearance. I'm sorry, I think it's just the last time. I think they did it in 52, but you could feel free to stat check me on that. I don't mind that.
All right. We're allowed to make mistakes here. We're just human. It happens.
People, I mean, it's like, you could do it. I don't really care. Let people let me know. It's exciting because when you take a look at those little bits of history, right? Courage with the more recent playoff experience, right? This Spirit team, not so much the same case, but not only that, they also don't have, they don't have a ton of players who were part of that 2016 roster. I mean, we can maybe point him out. It's Tor Huser, right? For Washington Spirit. For North Carolina Courage, there have been a number of players who have been playing together as teammates who have gone on to these sort of knockout scenarios and aren't unfamiliar with having that sort of playoff pressure. But they're going on the road. They're going on the road, and they're going to the D.C. area. And this playing at Audi Field is not a place where they've had a ton of success against this Spirit side. And while we're talking about recent form, we got to maybe give that little bit advantage to the Spirit, I think, right? Don't we, Lisa, in this one?
Yes, I think so. I mean, these two squads between Washington and North Carolina, number three versus number six, which is a different look for the Courage. As you said, Sandra, they're usually number one. They're usually top dogs coming into it. And really the irony that North Carolina Courage, and Lynn spoke about this in our interview with her. Go check it out if you haven't. It's on our YouTube page. It's fantastic that in the airport, Lynn and all of her Courage teammates were sitting there watching the Washington-Houston game and cheering for Washington, cheering for them to score goals. She was like, when Trinity Rodman scored that goal, we went nuts. We were celebrating. That's hilarious, because then come a week later, in just a week's time, you now have to play against that competition. I mean, I guess they all scouted Washington pretty well because they watched that game against Houston, and they were cheering for those moments when they did get the ball and do well. So you know how Washington can attack. But let's take a trip down memory lane for these two squads. July 10th, Washington beat North Carolina Courage 2-0. Ashley Hatch, she had a brace in that game. So that was when we started to see the magic of Ashley Hatch really coming into form. August 29th, it was a 0-0 draw. So no one in that match coming away with a win. And then October 13th, Washington coming away with another win, 2-1. Goals from Trinity Rodman in the 39th minute. And Speck for Courage got one in the 60th minute. And then Rodder closed out the scoring for Washington in the 70th minute. So Courage did come back in their most recent match early in October after Washington scored first. The Courage were able to get on the board, which I think says something a little bit, because it's hard to come from behind and score goals and do all of that hard work. When we look at the team of Washington Spirit and what they have, Ashley Hatch, she scored a brace against this team and she became the Golden Boot winner of this regular season. But Washington is on a 6-game unbeaten streak. And in their last 4 games, 3 of them had multiple goals in them. So the Spirit is not just scoring goals and winning games or going unbeaten, but they're also scoring multiple goals in a game, which is huge, especially against a game against a team like North Carolina Courage that hasn't really scored a lot of goals this year. When we're speaking historically, North Carolina has been a team that is very offensive minded. They score 4 or 5 goals a game, 3, 4, 5 goals a game. They let up 1 or 2, but it doesn't matter because they're putting up 20 some shots a game and 4 of them are finding the back of the net. This season, not so much. They're only putting up about 7, 8, 9 shots a game. And even then, they're only getting 1 on the board. So defensively, North Carolina has had to rely a lot on their defensive abilities this year, which is something they're not really used to. Sticking with Washington a little bit here, 4 shutouts in their last 5 games. I think that is a huge stat, especially against a North Carolina Courage team that hasn't been putting up as many goals as they would have liked to this season. This matchup I'm so excited for, because looking at lineups in the back line and knowing that Washington's back line has faced a little bit of injury and a little bit of players coming in and out and rotating around, and Andy Sullivan being a little bit injured, who plays that defensive midfield position for Washington Spirit. She needs to be 100% in this match against North Carolina. She does. There can be no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If she's a little bit nicked up, she has to play through that. In my mind, I don't know if she is. I don't know what's happening there, but you have to play through that and you have to help your team get this win. You talked about the playoff experience for Washington. I think being players that don't know what it's like to be in the playoffs and really kind of having this monkey on their back based off everything that has happened off the field this season and really trying hard to separate that from what's been done on the pitch. Heading into these playoffs, they don't know what it's going to be like. I think that helps them, honestly. I think for Ashley Hatch and Ashley Sanchez and Trinity Rodman, their forwards up top who just need to score goals. I mean, I make it sound so simple, but that's all they need to do. That's all they need to focus on right now. And I think that when you come into a playoff match like this against Courage, a team that is really good and really strong, they can be dominant in their attacking presence in what they need to do. So this is going to be a fun matchup. I don't think it'll be as tight as the Chicago game, Chicago versus Gotham. I really don't. I think it'll be a little bit more spread out and even, but I mean, we'll have to wait until Sunday to see, but that's my take on Washington and what they have to do. It needs to be a big game from Andy Sullivan, and they need to use their speed and their strength and their intelligence and their soccer smarts in the attacking end to be creative and get shots on goal.
No, I'm with you on so much of that. I think you look at Washington Spirit right now and you take a step back and look at them as a whole through the regular season, and they absolutely have one of the most exciting front lines right now. They've got young, likely candidate, rookie of the year candidate in Trinity Rodman, Ashley Sanchez, who's having no sophomore slump at all, absolutely contributing in that attacking third. And you've got Ashley Hatch, who walked away with 10 goals this year and Golden Boot honors. I don't think you look at that and say that that's anyone on that front line is a slouch. But it's exciting for sure. And I think when you sort of compare those front lines, I think maybe based on form and recent form, you give that edge a little bit to the Spirit. But I think that we're not maybe talking enough about. I do agree with you that this could be the game that's going to have the goals, which is a little contradictory into what I'm actually just going to say, but because of a phase that I think we're actually not touching on a little bit, and I'm not really seeing a lot of others maybe touching on, is that this actually could also maybe turn into like a real goalkeeper battle. Yes. As well. I'm loving the individual goalkeeper matchup that is going to take place that we could possibly witness in this quarterfinal. You've got Casey Murphy in net for North Carolina Courage, and they've got Aubrey Bledsoe in net for Washington Spirit. Bledsoe, who we were so thankful to have on short notice on the show ahead of the playoffs to talk a little bit about that. But 11 clean sheets for Casey Murphy for North Carolina Courage. I mean, and here they are finding themselves not as a number one seed, but in the playoffs. Aubrey Bledsoe with 8 clean sheets of her own. And honestly, for Bledsoe as well, just to sort of hone in on her a little bit, a part of that attack, we've actually seen some really fun team goals out of this Spirit side, which is the other part of the attack. It's like we're seeing, yes, there's been some exciting quick finishing that has happened from these front three, but there've been a lot of moments where there's been some good buildup, and Aubrey Bledsoe and the back line are part of that at times when they're able to have possession and retain possession and be able to sort of play through that possession. You know, Bledsoe is a goalkeeper that's got, you know, over 80% of a success rate on her passes, and that's gonna come into play if the Spirit are gonna stick with this, you know, this position based style that we have seen them sort of walk through and navigate through the regular season. But that is gonna be an angle that I'm actually really excited to see. I'm absolutely excited to see these two goalkeepers sort of tape up the gloves, get on out there, and sort of maybe come up with some highlights in this quarterfinal. I would not be shocked if the goals do eventually come in this game, but perhaps they come a little later, because I do think that each of these goalkeepers will get tested in this match for sure. So let's do this, Lisa. Same scenarios as we were closing out that Gotham and Chicago game. Let's do the same to close it out here for the Spirit and for North Carolina Courage. Give me 3 players across each of the lines on whichever team that you think has to have a lights out kind of game or a big performance in the quarterfinal.
So defensively, I'm going to go with Casey Murphy in goal for North Carolina. I'm just throwing her in that back line. She is a defender, and she is the last line of defense for the Courage. And you touched on it being a goalkeeper battle. And honestly, this will come down to a goalkeeper battle. She's going to have a lot of different style shots to stop against Washington when it comes to breakaways, when it comes to long distance shots from their midfield, when it comes to crosses into the box and Ashley Hatch trying to get her head on the end of the ball. It'll be a lot of different things coming at Casey Murphy, but she's going to be the player that steps up big and does those things. In the midfield, Andy Sullivan, I said it a little bit earlier, she needs to be on 100%, 90 minutes of this game, no mental lapses, defensively breaking up plays, and then immediately turning that defense into offense, springing her teammates wider, using up the entire space of the field. also combining in the attack. That's the beauty of a midfielder. And then up top, I'm honestly going to go with Jess McDonald. I'm going to key in on her a little bit because I don't want to talk about the normal forwards in Rodman and Hatch and William Sanchez. I want to focus on Jess McDonald because she's a player that does so much work off the ball defensively. And that's what she needs to do in this matchup against Washington. So it's more so what she does off the ball and then winning it back, springing at Lynn Williams forward and combining with Williams up top. But Jess McDonald, Andy Sullivan, and Casey Murphy for me are my three players.
I love that a lot. I think I'm going to echo similarly. I think for defensive side, I am looking at the goalkeeper, but I'll go with Aubrey Bledsoe in this one for all of the four reasons that we mentioned already. In the midfield, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go North Carolina. I think Dabinha has to have a big game for this North Carolina Courage side. Again, we're talking about the things that these players have been going through, and really – that's another thing that we have to touch on a little bit right now, and I'm doing it right now, is that both of these teams have had to deal with off-the-field things throughout this entire season, and that has at times, you know, perhaps affected their play on the pitch. The players have gone on record so much and saying as much that it has. So here they are in the playoffs. Hopefully this can be a bit of joy for both of these teams, and somebody like Dabinha absolutely is the key to that midfield without somebody like a Sam Mewis in tow. So she's going to have a big one and be recovering on defense when she has to, and involved in the attack and setting up playmaking for North Carolina. And for the front line, I am going to go with one of the big three of the spirit, but I'm going to go with Trinity Rodman. This is going to be her first playoff in a professional capacity. Everybody is speaking about this player as a lock for rookie of the year. And she had a very, very impressive season in front of her. But there have been times this year where we have seen this young player get easily frustrated on the pitch. And there's nothing like a pressure cooker when it comes to a playoff scenario. So I think she is going to have a challenge in front of her. And I think that she has to show, that's the thing that she has to show, that she's like, yes, I'm rookie of the year. Watch me ball out and not feel the pressure in this type of match. So that's who I'm going for. In terms of pick, you went first, Lisa. I'm going first this time. I'm going to go with the spirit on this one. I do believe they've got the full package. They can get things done in 90 minutes against North Carolina Courage. I think it's going to end 2-1. I'm going spirit. How about you?
Oh, 2-1. You even gave us a score line. I honestly think the spirit as well. I do. I know for the sake of the podcast, maybe I should go with courage, but I have to stick with my gut and I want to be right at the end of all of this. So I'm going to go with Washington Spirit to win this one too. I think they just have a little bit more momentum at this point in the season, and North Carolina just doesn't. They barely squeaked into the playoffs as it was.
All right, we'll see what happens. Let's close it out with our Raising the Bar segment. It's time for our Raising the Bar segment, thanks to Sonos Beam, where we get to highlight a player or two that is really elevating their game. Now in the playoff push, it's more important than ever for individual performances to be consistent and strong. We get to maybe choose two other players in this one, Lisa, so go ahead, hit us.
My player is going to be Ashley Hatch of the Washington Spirit, forward for them that has won the Golden Boot. And so she knows how to score goals, but also every opponent knows that she knows how to score goals. In Washington Spirit's last four games, she scored 3 goals. She had a brace against North Carolina earlier in the season, and I think that plays a factor into it. When you've scored goals against a team and you know that you can do it, you already have that confidence level. Now it's just getting it done. So Ashley Hatch is my player of the weekend that needs to be on her game and needs to be scoring goals, needs to be doing her job correctly, especially with the Spirit. And I know I picked the Washington Spirit to win over North Carolina, but it's honestly going to come down to Ashley Hatch and what she can do. Because against Casey Murphy in goal, she's a big shot stopper. So Hatch needs to be very, very creative. I want to see a little bit more deception from Hatch. We know that she's been working on her shot selection and shooting the ball from distance, getting into those tight spaces, losing her defender. But now is the time of the season in the playoffs when it can all come together and explode on the pitch in a really good way for Hatch.
I'm also choosing an attacking player. I'm going to go with Ifeoma Onumanu for Gotham FC. I know I chose Chicago to take this one, but I think she is going to be a big, big player in this piece. People are going to be looking at names like Margaret Purse. They're going to be looking at a big legend legendary name like Carly Lloyd. And Ifeoma Anumanu has been consistent for this Gotham FC side all year. She's collected goals for them, racking up eight, getting mixed up into that golden boot chase very, very late to the season. And also the assist of bringing them up and serving them up to her teammates when she has been able, being that extra option or making that extra pass for somebody else to sort of break things open for that Gotham FC side. I think if they want to have a breakthrough, I think if they want to advance, I think if they want to have a successful playoff run, she's got to be a big part of it. And it's got to start this weekend. So I'm going Anumanu. I want to thank everybody for listening and joining us today in our supersized playoff preview. We're excited and we can't wait to take more deeper dives into games in the future. I want to remind everybody that you can follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast show. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a question, we'll answer it during our mailbag segment. And we're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. We will be back with a recap of the NWSL quarterfinal for you all on Monday. Get excited for the NWSL playoffs. For Sergio Herrera and Lisa Gomez, this was Attacking Third.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.